Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We begin today in the book of Exodus. Stay tuned. We'll try to make it plain and we'll try to make it simple. As we get into the book of Exodus, the key verse in this book, I think, is in verse number 13 of chapter 15, where it says, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." Israel is going to be led out of the Egypt into the promised land. Exodus is a book that deals with redemption and it deals with deliverance. Now, at the beginning, when they came into Egypt, you remember from our last study in the book of Genesis, there's only 70 people that came in here, and they were living in peace. Now, 215 years prior to this, God had told Abraham that he would bring this Israeli nation to more than the sands of the sea, millions. However, they only have 70 people after 215 years. But God's not in a hurry. He's going to get done what he's going to do, and he's going to do it on his timetable, not on yours and not on mine. Well, as we come into this story, they've been there now for over 400 years, and they have millions of people. When they had 70 people, they had peace, but when they got to be a large group of people, they had some very unwarranted persecution. Now, as we get into the first chapter, in the first seven verses, it says, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt," and it names all of them, the tribes, the leaders, the men, and it says in verse 5, "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation." We mentioned on our last broadcast, that's what it says, they died. "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment," and that's what's in store for you and I as well. Well, it says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, it says in verse 8, "There arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Now the unwarranted persecution begins. And in verse 11 it says, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." However, in verse 12 we read, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." Well, the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives in verse 15, and he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him." Well, in verse 17 it says, "But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And when the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. Well, it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. God blesses those who do what he says to do. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, he's going to get all the people to kill any male children that are born to the Hebrews. What is going on here? It is Satan's attempt to stop Christ from being born. He is trying to destroy the royal line through whom Jesus would come. It's interesting that he wants them to throw them in the river. Going to be the death of the babies by the river. It's a very spot where they're going to put Moses, this little baby here, and a little bit further on in the story, the one who would bring death to the entire Egyptian army. Well, as we get down into chapter 2, we find a very interesting story as we begin to focus on Moses. He was living in a hut as a little baby. He ended up in the palace. He was living in poverty, and he ended up very wealthy. He began to be a leader in Israel. He was in line for the throne, and yet we find him in the wilderness as a shepherd. He was very educated, but again, living out in the wilderness, using it for nothing, as it appeared. He was an ambassador of heaven, but a fugitive from Pharaoh. Now, we find that his parents were living by faith. It says, and there went a man of the house of Levi, then took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, if you're going to understand this story, as we've said many times, you should compare Scripture with Scripture. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, it tells us there about the faith of Moses' parents. It says there, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because, number one, they saw he was a proper child. That means that there was something special about him. And number two, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, they did, their reaction here was a result of what they believed. And that is so important. When it talks about faith here, it is talking about what we believe. And we need to understand that what we believe will be tested. You get into the scriptures on this subject of faith, and we've dealt with it in previous broadcasts, but it's so important. We want to repeat some of this. It says in the Bible, it talks about no faith, talks about his faith, little faith, your faith, great faith, without faith. This subject of faith is a very interesting subject. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what is faith? What is faith? Well, the faith, that phrase is in the Bible 42 times. Your faith is in the Bible 24 times. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, one of the only two times that we have the word faith in the Old Testament, it says, "The just shall live by his faith." Now, we have seen in a previous broadcast that this word faith means trust only 5 times, and it refers to what we believe 240 times in the New Testament. Now, we're dealing here with what Moses' parents believed. The Bible says here, by faith, because of what they believed, they hid him for 3 months, and then they put him in this basket in the river, and they did what they did because of what they believed. Now, as you go down through that faith chapter in Hebrews 11, you'll see Abel was worshiping according to what he believed. You'll see Enoch was walking according to what he believed. You'll see Noah working according to what he believed. Abraham wandering according to what he believed. And Sarah waiting according to what she believed. Everything that we do in direct relationship to what we really believed. Now, Hebrews 10 and verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, by what he believes. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe," notice that word, "believe to the saving of the soul." It is interesting that in the Greek, the word faith in verse 38 and the word believe in verse 39, that is exactly the same Greek word. They have been translated faith, they have been translated believe. Now again, most of the time, of all the times we have the word faith in the Bible, 240 times, it's not talking about trusting, it's talking about what we believe. Now, we're going to trust in direct relationship to what we believe. That is obvious. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse number 7, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Faith, even so, what we believe, if we do not act it out by our works, then it's a dead belief. That's exactly what James is talking about here. So faith says, I believe God. And you look in the Bible, you see Moses and Noah and Abraham and Daniel and Paul and the disciples and all through the book of Acts, you find that they did what they did because they believed what they believed. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 25, Paul stood up in the middle of that storm on that ship where it looked like all was lost, and he said, rejoice, relax. Why? Because I believe God. It's going to be as he said he would. He has a plan for me, and it isn't to die here on this boat. He did what he did because he believed God. Faith says, I believe God. So Moses, all we need is a shepherd's rod, and let's get on here and deliver God's people. Deliver God's people with a shepherd's rod? Yeah, why? Because I believe God. David said, oh, no, all we need here is a slingshot. We can get this done with a slingshot. How can we do with a slingshot? Because I believe God. Faith without works is dead. Gideon said, all we need is these candles and a few pitchers and get rid of the crowd. We can't do it with all those people. Send them home. They're cowards anyway. How are we going to beat all those people, all those enemies? Well, because I believe God. Believe. They did what they did because they believed God and they acted accordingly. Now again, let me say it. They acted in direct relationship to what they really believe. Now we need to make sure that our faith, what we believe, is always founded on the Word of God. Faith is not some fuzzy feeling. Faith always needs to be founded on what God says. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23 again, it says, By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith. Well, we see the providence of God here in verse number 5, and it says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when they saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister, now she's standing in the sidelines here, got a plan, this is not just something that's just happening. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Oh, what a great idea. Yeah, it was part of the plan. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Isn't that an amazing story? Well, here's actually the mother of Moses taking care of her son and being paid to do it by the daughter of Pharaoh. Well, in verse 10 it says, the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. That must have been a hard moment for Moses' mom. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days, Moses was grown, and he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. Now, his mother had instilled some things in his young life while she had the opportunity to do it. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And it says he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, why smitest thou thy brother? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Yeah, it was. And when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and went and dwelt in Midian. And he sat down by a well. Well, we're going to have to leave Moses sitting by the well. We'll pick it up again in our next broadcast. Be sure and tune in. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.